10th canto, 53rd chapter, text 39. Evam prema kala baddha vadantisma prokashah kanya cha antahpurat pragat भटैहि गुप्ता अंबिकालयम्। एवं प्रमकलाबद्धा वदन्ति स्म पुरौकसः कन्याचान्तपुरात् प्रागात् भटैर्गुप्ताम्बिकालयम्। एवं प्रेमकलाबद्धा 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 वदन्ति स्म पुरौकसः कन्याचान्तपुरात् प्रागात् भटैर्गुप्ताम्बिकालयम्।
माताजिस्।
एवं प्रेमकलाबद्धा वदन्ति स्म पुरौकसः कन्याचान्तपुरात् प्रागात् भटैर्गुप्ताम्बिकालयम्।
एवं दस प्रेम ऑफ प्योर लव कला बाय द इंक्रीज बद्धः बाउंड वदन्ति स्म दे स्पोक पुरावकसः द रेसिडेंट्स ऑफ द सिटी कन्या the bride ch and antapurat from the inner palace pragat went out bhataihi by guards gupta protected ambikalayam to the temple of goddess ambika. Translation in purport by the disciples of his divine grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Jala Prabhupada. Bound by their swelling love, the city's residents spoke in this way. Then the bride, protected by guards, left the inner palace to visit the temple of Ambika. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes the Medini dictionary's definition of the word kala as follows. Kala mule pravraddhav syat chitta deva aunsha matrike. The word kala means a root, increase, a stone or a mere part.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम् वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगणललिता श्रीशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. Bound by their swelling love, the city's residents spoke in this way. Then the bride, protected by guards, left the inner palace to visit the temple of Ambika. So at the very outset, I would like to solicit the blessings of Vaishnava sitting in this hall, especially His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu and other exalted Brahmachari devotees. I absolutely have no authority to speak on this verse, which when I read it for the first time completely foxed me, but nevertheless I'll make an attempt to speak something on the topic since I have been given this service. So the pastime of Rukmini Devi seems to be heading for a nail biting finish, as they say. The background, as is known to most of you but bears repetition, despite knowing that Rukmini has given her heart to Krishna, her brother Rukmi is hell-bent. He is hell-bent on marrying his sister to Shishupal, who hates Krishna. He hated Krishna from his very birth. So Rukmi has somehow or the other decided that his sister should be wedded to Shishupal and not to Krishna. This is real cussed behavior, as they call it. If you want seek the happiness of your sister, you should marry her to a person whom she loves, not to somebody you want. So anyway, this is how Shishupal, this is how Rukmi behaved. And Rukmi comes across as a very adamant, stubborn, self-centered, selfish personality. I remember that some years ago, His Grace Adi Kesha Prabhu and Premlila Mataji, they had staged a drama on the subject, Rukmini Haran, years back. And in that play, Adi Kesha Prabhu played the role of Rukmi. And who do you think was Bhishmaka? Yours truly, one who is sitting here. I played the role of Bhishmaka. And to this day, I remember Adi Kesha Prabhu coming close to me and with his piercing glance, you know, looking straight into my eyes. How dare you, you know, think of marrying my sister, you know, to Krishna. That was what the glance conveyed, you know. I still remember it. So anyway, Rukmini is actually the most beautiful princess. She is actually a goddess of fortune herself. She is beautiful, she is brilliant, and she is bold. Most beautiful because practically everyone, all the princes wanted to marry her. Naturally, she is very, very beautiful, but very brilliant and bold also. How is she brilliant? She has devised a wonderful plan to extricate herself from the wiles of Rukmi. Right when they are plotting how to marry her off to Shishupal, she has conceived of a brilliant plan to extricate herself, to request Krishna, and very, very boldly she plans everything. She sends a very well qualified Brahmana, who is actually very, very discreet and above all loyal to her. Chooses the right Brahmana, who is very erudite, very scholarly, and who is a devotee. And she gives a sealed letter and asks him to deliver it confidentially to Krishna. And this Brahmana, post haste, he travels from Vidarbha. He goes right up to Dwarka and enters Krishna's chambers. He is allowed easy entrance. And when he enters Krishna's chamber, Krishna welcomes him as he would welcome any Brahmana, honors him, respects him, gives him good hospitality, and this way makes the Brahmana very happy. And then he broaches the subject. He says that, how come you have come here? You have traveled all the way. You have come across the seas to meet me. What is the purpose? And then very patiently the Brahmana explains. He explains to Krishna what are the circumstances under which he has come. And this being the case, Krishna is all attention. He hears very, very attentively. Now the question arises is that how is it that Rukmini got attracted to Krishna? She had not met him in person at any time. All that had happened was that she had heard about Krishna. Sa upashrutya mukundasya rupa virya guna shriyaha grahagatehi giyamanaha tam mene sadrusham patim. So Rukmini has heard about the glories of Shri Krishna and about his transcendental character and opulence also from visitors to the palace who would sing the glories of Krishna. Anybody who has encountered the Supreme Lord Krishna cannot but help glorifying him. So those visitors who would come to the palace of Bhishmaka, there she heard from them and she gave her heart to Krishna. Of course, Rukmi decided that he would be a perfect husband for her. Sadrusham Pati. Now I am going to speak on the subject of Sadrusham, which in today's language is compatibility. A compatible husband. So we'll be speaking a little more on this little later. So Rukmini gave her heart to Krishna simply by the process of hearing about the glories of Krishna. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj the other day when he spoke on this topic, he said that Rukmini's situation was somewhat like the Dvijapatnis. The Dvijapatnis also had never met Krishna. Simply, they had heard about glories of Krishna. And yet, when the time came to serve Krishna, you know, to send prasad to him, give prasad to him, they defied their husbands and went and met Lord Krishna. So just by the process of hearing, they were so hypnotized by the Supreme Lord Krishna that they went all out, they defied authority and went and, you know, met the Lord in the forest. Of course, the Lord later on sent them back saying that you go back to your husbands who are performing the yajna. But by that time, the Dvijas had also become, you know, somewhat intelligent. They also accepted the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and we are simply, you know, ritualistic Brahmanas. So there were rituals. The Brahmanas were doing ritualistic offerings to the in the yajna, whereas the Dvijapatnis were spiritual. So difference between the two was like that. So what was Krishna thinking about Rukmini? That is also given in a beautiful verse. Tam buddhi lakshana audarya rupa chila gunashrayam krishnasya sadrushim bharya samadhodum manodade. Once again the word sadrushim comes, sadrushim bharya. So Lord Krishna knew that Rukmini possessed intelligence, auspicious bodily markings, beauty, proper behavior and all other good qualities. And he also concluded that Rukmini is the ideal wife for him. So both of them, you know, have made up their minds to marry each other. So normally this compatibility factor is not decided by the bridegroom and the bride. The parents or some elders or some well-wishers, they decide such and such a person, you know, is, you marry this person or you marry this girl. these suggestions normally come from others, but in this case Krishna is the Supreme Lord himself and Rukmini is Goddess of Fortune. So they take the decisions themselves and, you know, decide that this marriage should take place, irrespective of Shishupal and irrespective of, you know, Rukmi. So Rukmi has made his own arrangements and Rukmini makes also her own arrangements. So we find that Rukmini is not only brilliant, she is also bold, and she also has got the capacity to communicate very nicely. In one letter that she has sent to Krishna, in that sealed envelope with the Brahmana reads out to her, he communicates that she is in an emergency situation, and that unless Krishna rescues her, she would be captured by Shishupal, and she indicates that death would be a preferred situation as compared to marrying Shishupal. So Rukmini pleads that she should be kidnapped on the day of marriage. That's the verse we are reading now. So Rukmini is entering into the temple of Ambika for the customary ritualistic, you know, darshan of the deity before actually the marriage is solemnized. She is going there. So Rukmini very cleverly says that, first of all, she advises Krishna that, you know, you should keep your army sajja, you know, you should keep your army ready, but you should be not very, very obvious. It's not very, very obvious to people. You should, you know, hide yourself in such a way that when the time comes, you can appear and just snatch me away and go. Of course, we'll read this later on in subsequent verses. So, in the meantime, until such time as Krishna actually reads the letter sent by her and then comes to Vidarbha with that Brahmana, what is Rukmini's situation? She is completely tension ridden. She is full of tension. Though she has taken bold actions, though she has done the right thing, still in her heart of hearts, some doubts start assailing her mind. This often happens to practically everyone. You decide on doing something which is not in a normal channel, and then after you take a decision and after you start acting on it, you start wondering, did I do the right thing? So similarly, Rukmini, though she knows that Krishna is definitely going to honor her request, but still in her heart of hearts she is full of tension. So she says, what if, you know, Krishna doesn't accept me? I have sent the letter, I have requested him to come and rescue me, but what if he doesn't do? And this kind of doubt comes in her mind. So this shows that even great devotees, even Rukmini, Goddess of Fortune herself, even she has to pass through this tension or this you know, worry until she gets Krishna. Actually, she has to pass through. That is also the lot of most of us, we devotees. So also, because we sometimes, at least I get this, taken to the process of Krishna consciousness, spent so many years, will I eventually, you know, reach my destination? That role or that doubt can really cripple your consciousness. But then again you tell yourself that you are in association of thousands and thousands of devotees who all have taken the same path that you have chosen. Don't worry, things will be alright. So you are caught between this situation, and until and unless we have the association of devotees, we cannot be completely secure in the idea that, you know, we are on the right path. So therefore we need association of devotees. We have to keep on telling us that, okay, what you are doing is the right thing. You are on the right path. So, rakshishyati iti vishwaso. So we have to have that confidence that Krishna is definitely going to protect us. So that conviction doesn't come easily to an individual unless and until he is in association of devotees. So here also we find that Rukmini has the doubts. But finally she also knows in the heart of hearts that everything is going to be alright. So Krishna and Balaram, they come to Vidarbha, and there, you know, Bhishmaka makes wonderful arrangements for their reception. He takes very nice care of her, as he did for all other kings also. Bhishmaka is a very good host. He makes wonderful arrangements for them. And then the residents of Vidarbha, they see Krishna for the very first time in their lives, and when they see Krishna, Shyam Sundar Krishna, they are so much attracted to him, very much attracted to him, and they remember that Rukmini is very dear to them, she is the princess, and they start making mental notes. No, here is Rukmini, the princess, who is so beautiful, who is so accomplished, who has such wonderful qualities, and here is Krishna. Both of should marry each other. So when the Lord comes, when Krishna comes to Vidarbha, they say, Krishnam agatam akaranya Vidarbha vasinaha agatya netranjali bhi papuhu tan mukham pankajam. So in a very beautiful verse, it is described that with cupped palms of their eyes, they drank the honey of his lotus face. The residents were aware of the beauty and qualities of Rukmini, but when they saw Sri Krishna, what was their reaction? They again started making matchmaking, that compatibility thing comes up again. Asyaiva bharya bhavitum Rukmini arhati na parah. Asau api anavadyatma bhaushmaha samuchitah patihi. So they said that they see Rukmini Devi, they remember her countenance, they remember her wonderful qualities, and then they see the beautiful Lord Krishna, and then they decide in their minds. Asyaiva bharya bhavitum Rukmini arhati. Rukmini deserves Krishna as her husband. Napara. No one else. No one else is qualified to marry Krishna. And Krishna is the only suitable husband. So this, as I said, this compatibility part, practically everyone does this, even in today's age. Now this compatibility factor has been in existence from time immemorial, as we'll see in a pastime that I'll be taking up a little later. So this factor has always existed, and this tendency is there. When you see a marriageable boy or a marriageable girl, you start making matchmaking in your mind, and this has happened so many times in everybody's life. So anyway, so citizens, they decide in their mind that this must be the only marriage that can take place between Rukmini and Krishna. Whereas, of course, Rukmi doesn't see the compatibility at all. He is completely oblivious. He is not bothered. He is not bothered about the happiness. But here the citizens who love the princess, they decide that, Asyaiva bharya should become his wife only. And then they go a step further. It is one thing to say that Krishna should marry Rukmini or Rukmini should marry Krishna. But they go one step ahead. They say, Kinchit sucharitam yat naha tena tushta trilokakrut anugrannatu grannatu vaidharbhyah pani machyutah. Then they say that may Achyuta, Krishna, creator of the three worlds, be satisfied with whatever pious work we have done. The citizens are willing to, give in charity whatever pious credits they have accumulated over the years, so that they desire that Krishna should accept the hand of Rukmini. Look at the love the citizens have for Rukmini. This also goes to prove how Rukmini, was so very lovable, that even common people, wanted her to be happy in marriage. So this way, the devotees and citizens of Vidarbha lovingly offered their entire stock of punya. Take this punya, O Krishna, and please accept Rukmini's hand. This way they are praying. So virtually the citizens of Vidarbha, they are on Rukmini's side. Krishna, of course, is on Rukmini's side. And therefore, what is going to transpire. We'll not discuss it now. That is somebody else's domain. So the point is here, sadrusham patihi, sadrushim bharya, compatible husband and compatible wife. Now, this is, as I mentioned, something that is going on since time immemorial. So I want to take you to Satya Yuga. The third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes how, commanded by Lord Brahma, Kardama Muni, he performs penance for 10,000 years. With what objective? This is in Satya Yuga, so he can perform for 10,000 years. What is the objective? He is looking out for a Sadrushi Bharya. He is looking out for a compatible partner. Now, if we are asked, if the same thing happens to us, we would say go to a marriage bureau or search on the internet for a compatible wife. But Kardam Muni straight away goes to the forest and performs penance for 10,000 years to get a wife. Why? Because he wants to be blessed by the Lord himself so that he can accept the grihastha ashram and procreate. This is what is the intention of Lord Brahma. So, jata harsho apapat murdhna kito labdha manorataha. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears to Kardama Muni, and Kardama Muni falls flat, offers his obeisances to the Supreme Lord. And he says to the Lord that I desire to marry a girl of like disposition. Again, the same compatible. Who may prove to be a veritable cow of plenty in my married life. You are like a desire tree and therefore I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada in various comments says that normally one would not perform a penance to marry a girl for marriage. But this is an exceptional situation. Kardama Muni is a very exalted personality. And he is seeking the blessings of the Supreme Lord himself. So, Srila Prabhupada comments in his purport that the phrase like disposition is very significant. He says that formerly boys and girls of similar dispositions were married. This is again compatibility part. The similar natures of the boy and girl were united in order to make them happy. So parents in India used to consult horoscopes, that's what Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, of the boy and the girl to see whether there would be factual union in their psychological conditions. This condition is very, very important. So then Prabhupada goes on to say that nowadays, marriages take place without any such consultations or without any proper thought, and therefore soon after marriage there is divorce and separation. So, and then again Prabhupada writes, formerly the husband and wife used to live together peacefully throughout their whole life, but nowadays things are different. So what it means is that in the olden days, people gave a lot of pradhanya, a lot of importance to the compatibility between the boy and the girl. So why does Kardama Muni want to have a wife who is of like disposition? Because a wife is necessary to assist in spiritual and material advancement. It is said that a wife yields the fulfillment of all desires in religion, dharma, artha, kama, doesn't say moksha, sense gratification. So if one has a nice wife, he is to be considered a most fortunate man. So the Supreme Lord grants the desire of Kardama Muni, and then he tells him that very soon, who is going to come? He says that Swayambhuva Manu, the emperor of the world, he is going to come to meet you with his wife Shatrupa and daughter Devahuti. And she is also ready for marriage as you are. And she has good character and all good qualities. So this is being described to Kardama Muni by the Supreme Lord himself. He is describing this. Very fortunate person, so qualities. And she is also searching for a good husband. So her parents will come to see you who are exactly suitable for her. You are Anurupa. You are Anurupa. And just to deliver their daughter to you as your wife. And then they say that in course of time you will have 9 daughters and my own expansion, Kapildev, he will also be born of you later. So this, with this assurance to Kardama Muni, the Lord disappears, he becomes Antardhana. So this way the Lord introduces Swayambhuva Manu to Kardama Muni, and as predicted, Swayambhuva Manu himself comes with his wife Shatrupa and with his daughter to the hermitage of Kardama Muni, and he introduces his daughter in a very wonderful way. He doesn't say that I am Swayambhuva Manu, the emperor of the world, and this is my daughter. You jolly well marry her. He doesn't say that. What does he say?
Priyavrata uttana pado swasa iyam duhita mama anvichati patim yuktam vayashila gunadibhi.
He says that this daughter of mine is sister of Priyavrata. She introduces him that way. Not my daughter. My daughter, yes, but she is sister of Priyavrata. Very, and she is very keen to marry a desirable husband, Yukta. So, Vayashila Gunadibhi, she is in every way, you know, compatible with you for marriage purposes. So, this way, question arises, how come Devahuti, you know, heard about Kardama Muni? Once again, it is described,
Yadatu Bhavata Shila Shruta Rupa Vato Gunan Ashrunot Naradatesha Tvai Asit Krutanishchayaha.
He says that the moment my daughter Devahuti heard about your qualities from Narad Muni, she decided that she is going to marry you. So this is how the decision making would take place with the blessings of spiritual persons. Not just, you know, advertising in newspapers or anything like that. This is the blessings of very great exalted souls like Narada Muni. So Devahuti did not personally see Kardama Muni. She had not seen him. Nor had Rukmini seen Krishna. But she experienced the character or the qualities of Kardama Muni simply by hearing about him from Narada Muni. So this is the way the marriage would take place. So she heard about Kardama Muni from the authority of Narada Muni. Srila Prabhupada in his purport writes there, hearing from an authority is a better experience than gaining personal understanding. So very wonderful purport. So Prabhupada is saying, this general in its character, Prabhupada is saying that when we try to, you know, decipher anything with our own mind, with our own intellect, with our own intelligence, we are likely to go off the track. We are likely to not understand things in the right perspective. But when we hear it from an authority, when we hear it from spiritual, when we get the spiritual instruction from a spiritual master, or from authority, or from the Bhagavatam, or such holy scriptures, then our understanding becomes very, very clear. So on our own, our, you know, speculation, or our thinking that this must be so, that doesn't work out. So that Prabhupada says that it is, hearing from an authority is a better experience than gaining personal understanding. So Devahuti heard from Narada Muni, and that Kardama Muni was just fit to be her husband, and therefore she became fixed in her heart that she would marry Kardama Muni. So she expressed her desire to her father, Swayambhuva Manu. He didn't say that, I don't agree with your proposal. He accepted because he loved his daughter, and he knew that his daughter, you know, was well trained and she would not make a wrong choice. And therefore, he accepted her proposal, and with his wife, all three of them, they come to the hermitage of Kardama Muni. This is how eventually the marriage takes place. After solemnizing the marriage, Swayambhuva Manu and accompanied by his wife, they leave the hermitage of Kardama Muni, and Devahuti starts staying with Kardama Muni. There are beautiful descriptions of how Devahuti, who was actually the daughter of the emperor of the world, Swayambhuva Manu, how she adjusts herself in this situation. Kardama Muni is like a mendicant. He has no possessions. He has nothing. But Devahuti starts serving Kardama Muni very, very nicely. In fact, it is an ideal example to follow. He has nothing but spiritual grandeur, and she has all the material grandeur because she is the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. But once she accepts him as her husband, she identifies herself totally with Kardama Muni, and she serves him very, very beautifully. It's a wonderful description in the Srimad Bhagavatam how she adjusts herself
to the changed conditions. Anyway, so this way she adjusts and she starts serving her husband with love and respect. Vijrambena, it is said. She serves him very beautifully, and in course of time she gives birth to 9 daughters who are all outstanding, who are all beautiful. And how that conception takes place, that we also described in detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are interested can read it. So Lord Brahma instructed Karda Muni. Brahma appeared there and he instructed Karda Muni that you should hand over your 9 daughters to 9 rishis who are, you know, sadrusha, who are, you know, compatible. So he says to Karda Muni, Atatvam rushi mukhebhyo yatha shilam yatha ruchi atmaja pari devyagya vistrunihi yasho bhuvi. So Lord Brahma instructs Karda Muni that you have these now 9 beautiful daughters, they have grown up. You marry them to rishis according to sadrusha, according to, you know, the compatibility factor. You go through that. And therefore, he says, today, please give away your daughters to the foremost sages. To the foremost sages with due regard for the girl's temperament and liking, and thereby spread your fame all over the universe. And Karda Muni just did that. He wants to carry out the order of Lord Brahma. He did his penance, you know, to please Lord Brahma. Now he carries out these instructions also very, very meticulously. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes who are the 9 rishis to whom he married his 9 daughters. They are all famous names, who is who in spiritual world. So he marries his daughter Kala to Mariti, the exalted Mariti. Then Anusuya to Atri. Thereby we can remember various daughters. Then Shraddha to Angira Muni, Havirbhu to Pulasya Muni, Gati to Pulaha, then Kriya to Kratu, Khyati to Bhrugu, and Arundhati to Vashishta, and Shanti to Atharva. This way the 9 daughters are married to 9 very exalted sages, and the married daughters go to their respective, you know, ashrams, and they serve their husbands very nicely. And then of course this way the procreation, the progeny increases, which is the original instruction of Lord Brahma. So we find that everywhere the concept of, you know, marrying a daughter to the right person who has the right qualifications, that is accepted universally. And when this doesn't happen, there are always problems. I would end with just one more example where the marriage was not such a success. So, though it is also from, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada writes that according to the Vedic civilization, before marriage takes place, an account is taken of both the boys' and girls' families. If according to astrological calculation, the combination is perfect, then the marriage takes place. Sometimes, however, there is a mistake and family life becomes frustrating. So it's not that always, you know, there is success. But there is a beautiful example of Anga, King Anga. King Anga, he did not have a very good wife. His wife's name was Sunita, and I believe she is considered to be the daughter of Lord of Death. That's what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So sometimes Prabhupada writes, so this marriage took place and the product was Veena, the famous Veena, who was cruelty personified. This is the product. So Prabhupada comments like that sometimes, you know, the son inherits the qualities of the mother, and very often, you know, the daughter inherits the qualities of the father. So this way Prabhupada comments on that. So Prabhupada writes that the Veena, he became a miserable experience for Anga. So much so Anga tried to reform him, but he did not succeed. He was a defiant and a very cruel personality who could kill people just like that. You know, even as a youngster, you know, he would kill his, you know, go play with friends, and, you know, if he was not happy, he would just kill them. It's very, very cruel king. And eventually Veena is his existence is terminated by the sages, you know, by chanting mantra. So anyway, that's another story. So, but Srila Prabhupada write that how come, you know, Anga, you know, was married, you know, to this wife Sunichi. So Sunitha, so he says that sometimes the Lord arranges an unfortunate wife for his devotee. So I think it's very relevant at times, you know, if you see the contemporary scene also. So that gradually, due to family circumstances, the devotee becomes detached. You know, if detached from his wife and his home and makes progress in devotional life. We also know the story of Tukaram. How, you know, Tukaram had a wife who never agreed with whatever he wanted to do. They always had fights. So Tukaram writes in one verse that, you know, she helped me to progress in my spiritual life, because, you know, I realized that material life is nothing but bogus, you know, it never gives happiness. So because of having a wife who was unpleasant and who did not go along with him, Tukaram says that, you know, he made progress in spiritual life. Similarly, here Srila Prabhupada, in this very beautiful comment, he says that Lord arranges an unfortunate wife. So similarly, Anga was completely, you know, stricken with misery when he saw the behavior of his son Veena. He wanted to reform him, but there was no way he could reform him, and he had to let things be. And one fine day, Anga just disappears from his kingdom. Disappears from kingdom. So this way, sometimes the Lord can arrange, by arrangement of the Lord, a marriage can take place in which there is no compatibility between the husband and the wife. But if either of them are devotees of the Lord, then, and if the marriage cannot be salvaged, then one can take a position that this is an arrangement which the Lord has made, and from that situation one can try to raise oneself up in spiritual life so that we become successful. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any comments or any questions, please feel free. I was not feeling very secure when I got this, when I read this purport. I had to connect it up somehow. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or any comments? Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.